This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Major League Soccer on the BetRivers Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome on into the MLS Betting Weekly podcast brought to you by BetRivers Sportsbook and Casino. Head on over to BetRivers.com today. Get yourself signed up for an account and get in on the action. I'm Thomas Viola, and joining me, as always, none other than the international man of mystery, the Pablo Escobar of parlays, the man in Bogota himself, Taylor Wilson. Taylor, how are you doing? It has been a minute, my friend. We had to endure what felt like forever on that break for the international weekend. But I'm glad that we are back here and we have more MLS as decision day looms ever near.
It's getting close, Tom. It would feel better to take a full week off. You know, we were in a bunch of midweeks. We were doing a ton of these and it feels weird to take a week off. Good to be back with you. I will say it would feel better to have taken the week off if the U.S. didn't just look completely awful over a couple of games here as we get ready for the World Cup. But we'll talk about that a little bit later as we start to think about that other big international break at the heart of European seasons. MLS will be wrapped up by then. And we are getting into the business end, Tom. Couple of match day weeks left. There's going to be a few midweek things happening next week for some teams to catch up and get onto equal footing in terms of games played. But next weekend, you know, a week and a half from time of recording, we are going to have decision day. We're going to find out who wins Supporter Shield, and we're going to find out what this playoff picture looks like, because there is still a lot to play for over these last couple of weeks, and we'll try to handicap it for you. But some interesting stuff. I think it's a fun slate. Obviously, like you said before we came on recording, Tom, this is the part of the season where you need to figure out, you know, who is still playing for stakes, who isn't. And then what does that mean in terms of capping these games? So we'll get into them. I think there's some fun ones.
That's right. There really are some fun ones here. And you nailed it. There's going to be games that matter for some teams that don't matter for others. And it's how much you want to balance. Okay, this team has to try in this game versus this team doesn't really care. How much does that balance into your handicapping here versus what's already baked into the lines? And the first game that we've got up here is one such game, because we've got Toronto hosting Inter Miami. Toronto even money to take the win here. Miami plus 215 on the road and the draw at 3-1. And this is, like you said, things start getting a little tough. Toronto is officially out of the playoffs. Their Italian reinforcements came just too late, and three straight blowout losses contributed to a terrible flourish to the end of the season. Inter Miami, very much crunch time. They sit even on points with the Crew for the final playoff spot in the East. This is a must-win game for them, as all of their final three will be heading into decision day. But can they pull it off? I'm not very convinced. This team has 10 road losses and a measly 12 goals on the road, worst in the league by far. Toronto's on the back of those three blowout losses, but after the international break, they've had time to reset. Coach Bob Bradley's going to look to finish his first season strong, and frankly, I can't take a price on this Miami team on the road. I'm going to take Toronto at even money here and hope that they're looking to play some spoiler.
Wow. Wow. I'm staying. I hate to do this right off the top of the show, but this is a no touch for me, Tom. I'm staying completely away from this. There's a couple of things to get into. First of all, you know, you've said it right here on the show repeatedly, Tom, that you're looking at Toronto for next season. I do think Toronto is still an interesting team to look at when you start to, you know, it's never too early to start thinking about your futures plays for next year. And I kind of do agree, but they are going to need to bring in some reinforcements at the defensive side of the game. This is now three games in a row where they've conceded four goals. They've conceded two or more in seven of their last nine, Tom. So at the beginning of the Bernardeschi and Insigne arrival, it looked like, hey, maybe even the defensive side of this team is improving a little bit. Maybe across the board, the form of these Italians is going to bleed into the entire team. And early on, it looked like that was happening. But here over the last eight or nine games, the defense has completely fallen apart once more. The problem is, this is an Inter Miami team that away from home does not capitalize. It doesn't matter if they're playing against good defenses or bad ones. They just cannot score on the road. You outlined it, Tom. 12 goals in 16 road matches this year. They also only have three wins in their 16 away matches. I know they're coming off of that win away at DC, but what are the crucial letters there? DC. It doesn't really matter much when you're playing against the worst team in the league. I still think this is a bad team on the road. I understand they're playing for everything, and Toronto is playing for nothing. Sometimes the team playing for nothing is the one that you want to back, and I can understand you going on the team with kind of carefree football in this case. But I'm going to completely stay away. The plus 215 price, you know, in a vacuum, that's one of those where if you're used to betting other leagues, if you're used to betting other sports, you say, hey, here's a team that's eliminated against a team with a shot to get into the playoffs. If you look at some of the baseball numbers right now in the last week of the season, you look at the business end of the football season, you would be like, wow, I cannot believe I'm getting a 215 price tag. But look a little bit deeper into the numbers. Understand this is MLS, where those prices can look really appealing. But when you look a little bit deeper into how bad some of these teams are on the road, it looks a little bit less appealing. So if anything, I honestly would probably try something Toronto here, Tom. I just don't think the price is good enough for a team that's completely leaking goals right now. Another play that I considered here is looking at the team goals bet. I know everything I outlined with Miami on the road, it's like, I don't want to take them to score. If you're that low on Toronto's defense, you could maybe look into over 1.5 Miami team goals. That's at plus 138, though. I would need better than 2-1 odds, I think, to try that, considering how bad Miami is as an attacking side away from home. And again, I'm choosing to ignore that DC game. So all of this is a very long way to say that I am not betting this game, Tom.
Well, as your monologue comes to an end without a bet here, we move on to the New England Revolution versus your Atlanta United, who I stuck the fork in him how many times? I said, all right, that's it. Me They're too. Done. We're good. It's over. And they sit here not quite dead just yet. They are plus 155 on the road in this one versus New England, plus 138 at home in the draw, plus 290. Who would have guessed last year's single season points record setters wouldn't finish the year in the playoff race? They are done, and that's exactly what's happening. They're not mathematically out just yet, but they're pretty much there. Atlanta, not really out of things. They've just come together and are riding wins over Toronto and Orlando, plus a huge draw with an unstoppable-looking Philly side. Like, how the heck does this team with this terrible defense hold Philly to a scoreless draw? That's insane. Atlanta does need some help with all three above teams above them have a game in hand still, but they're not mathematically done, and this team still has the horses to make a late-season push. I'll take them against the disappointing Rev squad in a must-win game, plus 185.
Well, and the good news is when you look at the table picture, Tom, you know, I just outlined, like, Inter-Miami, I think, are probably – maybe they get a point out of that game, but I don't think they're going to Toronto and winning that game based on their road form. They're also chasing a Columbus team that I do think this Columbus team is still better than Atlanta. I watch both of these teams a lot. Atlanta, because I'm a fan. Columbus, because I think they're pretty fun to watch, especially this attack. But they just completely keep pooping games away. We'll talk about Columbus in a little bit. Those are two teams, I think, if you're Atlanta, if you're considering those being the teams that you're chasing, you're alive. You have a shot. Now, you're going to have to win both of these last two games in all likelihood. I think this is a good place to start out doing it. This is a New England team that's lost three in a row, just one win in their last eight. That win was against an NYCFC team that we really felt was sliding like crazy at the time. The most promising thing for Atlanta right now, though, Tom, is they actually have been playing better defensively. And it's not every day that you say a 0-0 draw is your best performance of the season. That probably was for Atlanta. I mean, they were the better team in that game. It was the Andre Blake show. That's the only reason why Atlanta didn't get all 3 points, is a great goalkeeping performance from Philly. It's been rare, maybe two or three times this entire second half of the season, that any team has outplayed Philadelphia Union. And Atlanta did it in that game. And the more promising part of that, Tom, also, they get the clean sheet and they hold them to 0.2 expected goals. That is absolutely incredible when you consider this Union team has been putting 5, 6, 7 goals past a lot of teams. So, again, it might be a little bit too little too late, but there is something to grab onto in terms of Pineda's trying to figure something out for next season for Atlanta. Having said all of that, I think they are a better team than the Revolution right now. Bruce Arena coming out after that last Revs game, basically kind of saying, you know, we're gassed, we're out of ideas, this is kind of the end of the road. I like those types of comments for a team going up against a side in Atlanta where the momentum is going completely the opposite way. So we're in agreement, Tom. I'm taking that plus price tag on Moneyline on Atlanta United here. I don't think the defense is completely fixed. I think they will be a team that you'd probably be happy to draw in the playoffs just because of those defensive problems. But if the Philly game is any indication, they may have turned a corner. Is it too late? We'll find out. I think they win here, though, Tom.
The next game up, Charlotte versus Philly. Charlotte plus 175 at home in this spot, which can't really surprise you, all things considered, with how much of a juggernaut Atlanta, notwithstanding, the Union have been. Plus 145 road favorites here in the tie at plus 240. I mean, it's don't get injured time here for Philly. A point in this game locks up the Eastern Conference. I think that they can get there, and then it's just competing for the supporter shield with LA. But I don't think Philly really cares as much about the supporter shield as they do about not getting hurt and getting through and getting to this, getting that one seed and getting ready for the postseason. This Charlotte team's been pretty good at home, and they're riding high off two straight wins to end what I'd say is a pretty good season. It's been a good first season in MLS for Charlotte, but Philly is just the class of the league, and I'll take them fresh and ready to rumble in this spot to clinch the one seed. I'll hazard a play on the over as well because we know how well Philly has been just walking through everybody. So I'm going to take Philly plus 145 and the over 2.5 at minus 148.
I think you're right, Tom, in terms of this being a pretty successful season for Charlotte. They're not going to be in the playoffs. They've really stumbled to the finish line here before winning back-to-back games. They had lost 7 of 9. That kind of pushed them out of any chance, really, to get into the postseason. But when you consider about an expansion side, an inaugural season where they may finish ahead of a Toronto team that's thrown money at some stars and brought them in midseason, a New England team that's coming off of a supporter shield win, I'd say that's pretty successful, especially if they only finish a couple of places outside the playoff push. How have they done it? By being, for the most part, especially in that first half of the season, a good home team and a really bad road team. That's kind of been the story of Charlotte's season so far. The difference is they've been kind of, again, before these last couple of games, been kind of bad across the board for about a month and a half. Coming in against either the best team or the second best team in MLS, I think that's a really tough matchup. Now, you hit the nail on the head. We don't know exactly who's going to play for Philly. We don't know exactly how they approach these last couple of games. They're going to get the one seed in the East. What they're playing for now is the supporter shield. And LAFC has now gained a couple of points back in that conversation to where if both of these teams win out, LAFC will be the supporter shield winners. It looked like a lock all season. Then it looked like Philly was edging ahead. And who knew Atlanta would be the spoilers in that conversation? Maybe LA still gets it. Maybe LA still slips. There are still some turns and twists left there, potentially. If you want to wait for the lineups, feel free to do so, but I'm fine locking this up now. I think plus 145 is fantastic value on Philadelphia. You have not found many plus prices on Philly in this second half of the season, Tom. And I don't think Charlotte are quite the behemoths at home that they looked like they were for, I'd say, maybe the first two thirds of the season. So Philly at a plus price, I think they still care enough about the supporter shield. I think especially coming off of an international break, they will play a decent amount of their guys. I don't think they're going to want to rotate this game as much as maybe the decision day game a week later. We'll see what they do in that one. But love the price, love the value. Give me Philly.
Yeah, I think for the rotation, we will have to see what goes on this week with LA versus Philly. If Philly can just lock everything up and sit out decision day, they'll be more than happy to do that. Although I don't know that you necessarily want to, given the break that you get as the one seed, they might want to give their starter some run. But the next game up here, FC Cincinnati versus Chicago, and the Fire are going to be 3-1 dogs on the road. Can't say I'm surprised by this. Cincy minus 137 at home. The draw plus 325. Cincy may actually make the playoffs. They sit in fifth place, but it's treacherous all the way around for this team. They can end the season, Taylor, as high as third, though that's doubtful. They need a lot of help. Or as low as ninth and out of the playoffs, thanks to this logjam. They can't get complacent here, especially with some of the squads below them who are playing pretty well at the right time. It was a good midweek draw in Seattle, and I think they finish things off and clinch a spot with a home win over Chicago. Give me Cincy minus 137.
I think it's reasonable. Chicago has been one of the worst teams in the league, really all season. They've had pockets where they've started to figure out the Shaqiri thing and that attack, but not good defensively and often get completely run off the pitch at the other end too. So I like the Cincy side of things here. The worry with Cincinnati this season has been the draws. So the first thing I look at is, can you get Cincy tie no bet at anything? you can't. It's minus 275 in this spot. The books are all over that. It's kind of true for their friends further north in Ohio as well. Columbus, they've been the two kind of champions of draws here, especially in the second half of the season, since he kind of all year. So the first thing, or the second thing I then looked at, was both teams to score. And in this case, it's yes at minus 162. I'm going to take that. I understand it might be a little bit steep for some teams, or for some bettors rather. But in this case, you know, you see these BTTS markets going crazy into the minus 230s, minus 250s. You can't very often get BTTS yes plays on their own in MLS anymore. This is a spot where I'm going to try it. Cincinnati is 9-2 in their last 11 on both teams to score. Chicago, they're 6-5 in that same stretch. But what we've seen with Cincy, especially at home, is they tend to dictate the gameplay and the game flow. And I think that's going to be the case here. I wouldn't be shocked getting screwed over on a 1-1 or a 2-2 or something. Maybe Chicago doesn't help you out. And I don't hate the minus 137 play either in terms of Cincy winning this game. But I'm a little bit worried about the draw stuff with them, especially for the last couple of months. So I'm going to try both teams to score yes, minus 162, Tom.
I think that that's I think that's an interesting play. I'm just a little worried about Chicago and their ability to do anything in this game. But I'm not certainly against it, especially when I'm laying minus 137 on Cincy to win it. So I think that that is an admirable play. I think that Cincy does win this game, though, so I'm going to stick with that. The Columbus Crew versus the New York Red Bulls is up next. New York, they have been the league's best road team by far. 2-1 dogs, plus 220 to be exact here in this one, as they head to Columbus, where the Crew are plus 120 home favorites, plus 235 on the draw in this spot. New York has clinched a playoff spot, but the Crew sit even on points with Miami and on the outside looking in the playoff race right now. The draw monster, it's been in full effect for this team with 6 in their last 8 games, but just one loss in that time. New York Red Bull's ability to play well on the road has been well documented, and plus 220, it's a good price to get them at this spot. But I have no idea who's going to win this game, Taylor. The over 2.5, though, sits at minus 106. And the Red Bull's offense, while it has been stymied lately, might be able to find a goal against this Crew team that has conceded 15 after the 75th minute this season. That's your season right there, the amount of points that have been dropped in those games. I think we see some scoring here, and I'll take the over at close to even money. I'd probably lean Red Bulls and say that the Crew, as much as I've wanted to believe in them, can't get it done for the season. But I don't know how much the Red Bulls really need to play here, and I'll still side with these offenses scoring some goals for us in an even money over.
You're probably okay there. The Red Bulls on overs have been a little bit tricky this year. Typically, you're better off betting overs with the Red Bulls on the road because you at least know what team is showing up there. And the worry sometimes is the Red Bulls will go in somewhere and win it 2 or 3 nil. And you actually won't get help from the home team. But I'm not worried about that here, you know, because we know with what Columbus can do going forward. The Cucho Zelarayan duo has been awesome. Kevin Molino was really good in the last game also. If they can get him going, they can get into the playoffs and get him going. That's a really dangerous front three. I just don't know if it matters with the way that they keep choking these games away. You mentioned the post 75th minute stuff. That's a minus 9 goal differential, worst in the league so far this season in that pocket of the game. You know, that Portland game again, 95th minute, they throw it away. You know, they did a lot of good things in that game, and Portland, credit to them, they've been a hard team to put away for about a month now, but 95th minute, man, you have to find a way to put those games away, and Columbus couldn't. So that was kind of the story of essentially their entire kind of post-Cucho arrival, where they finally got in the attack to be good, because early in the season, this wasn't a very good team in general. But the second half, the attack has been fun. It's just about, you know, can they get results? So often with Columbus, I'm looking at the tie, no bet markets. But when you talk about a Red Bulls team that is this good away from home, I'm going to do the same tie, no bet thing, but I'm going to do it the Red Bulls way at plus 135. I'm taking some value away from myself in term, you know, compared to if I would take that plus 200 something price tag just on the money line. But there are too many draws with Columbus to where I want to take that factor out of the possibilities. I'm going to try Red Bulls tie, no bet. If the Red Bulls do win this game, it's just about curtains for Columbus this season. It's amazing how quickly things can turn. They were looking like they were going to sniff maybe a top five seed in the East a few weeks ago. Draws don't help you very much, folks. You know, news alert, you need 3 points in games that you are dictating and controlling. And for Columbus, that hasn't happened much this season. So I understand the Red Bulls are coming off of an away loss, a rare away loss, but it was at NYCFC. I think we can consider that a local game, Tom, and not even put it into the road numbers. So that's what I'm choosing to do here. They are still the second best away team in all of MLS after Montreal, who we'll talk about in a little bit. Columbus, meanwhile, they've drawn 6 of their last 8. So like I say, really want to take the tie away from this one. I'm going to try the Red Bull side of things. Tie, no bet, plus 135.
Well, you speak of Montreal, and we deliver. Montreal plays DC United in their next matchup here as home favorites. They're minus 215. DC plus 460 in the draw, plus 380. And this game is tough solely because the lines make it hard to find a good way to play Montreal in this one. DC is terrible, and Montreal still has an outside shot to take over first place in the East if things fall their way. I'll take Montreal -1 so I have some push protection, but I could see this game getting out of hand and being a blowout. If you want to go 1.5 and be aggressive, I'm not going to fault you, but I'll stay -1, -130 here.
We're finally Montreal believers, right? I mean, I was a little bit slow to jump on the train. This is their greatest season in franchise history in Major League Soccer. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. But this team's legit. Just one loss since early July. A lot of games played in that time, Tom. This is a team that can score on you. This is a team, as I mentioned, is the best away team in the league. And they're pretty darn good at home as well. You're right. It's tough on the numbers when they end up playing the worst team in the league. It looked at one point like DC was fixing some things up under Wayne Rooney defensively. Just a little bit. And then they went and leaked 6 goals in 2 games. This is still a defense with a lot of problems. The first place I look here is, hey, can you get something Montreal team goals? Did the prices somehow get hidden here? Are you getting a treasure chest? You're not. The prices are not great here. Even the Montreal money line and over 1.5 team goals, if you put them together in a single game parlay, which I've been wanting to do this season, that's still minus 157, needing a couple of scenarios to go your way. I don't hate it. I think both of those things happen. I just need more on an SGP than minus 157 typically. I'm not quite as in love with Montreal to that level. That's maybe something I would have tried on LA earlier this season when we thought LA was, maybe the greatest team of all time. Not sure I'm quite there with Montreal in terms of trying to lay that kind of a juice on a same game parlay. So if you wanted to go more aggressive, you could also do over 2.5 team goals. That's plus 145. Again, I think it could happen. It's just not quite enough juice for me. That's only hit twice in the last 6 for Montreal. It's hard to score 3 goals, even in this league. Montreal makes it look easy sometimes. They could easily get to 3 or 4 in this spot, but there's just not enough value on that price. So again, a long way of saying we're in agreement on this one, Tom. I think this is the only way you can play this game is to try to just lay that goal. Don't worry about the minus 130 price tag. I think that's fine. That's what you're going to get with a team that's one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the league against the worst team in MLS. So I'm fine with that. I think your push protection is golden here, and you should be able to get a comprehensive Montreal win. If you don't, you call it a push and you move on.
There you go. I completely agree with you on that one. The next game up here, we've got Vancouver versus Austin. Austin FC on the road here, plus 188. The Whitecaps, plus 120. And the draw, plus 280. Oh, man. Has Austin put their 3-game slide in the rearview mirror with that win over RSL and a 1-1 draw at Nashville before the break? The squad doesn't have a ton of rotation, so the rest was definitely good for them heading into the playoffs, and hopefully they've been able to reset themselves and can find some success to take them into the postseason on a high note here. But Vancouver is a tough place to play, man. They just took down the Sounders and the Galaxy on home soil, where 9 of their 11 wins have come from this season. They are the 8th best team in the league at home, but overall, I think I have to ride with the class of Austin and hope they get this done. I don't know. I was on the North End podcast just the other day with Zach Graham, Kawisenberg. Be sure to check them out too. A great Austin FC supporters podcast. They seemed less than totally confident, but at plus 188, do I roll the dice with Austin one more time this season, Taylor? I'll lean to them, but honestly, I think I'm perfectly fine staying away in this game.
I don't blame you. There's two slightly concerning things that you would point to for Austin in this second half of the season. And it's been a great season. It's going to be a really fun playoff atmosphere there in South Texas. The two things, though, that have slipped here in the second half are away form and defense. Okay, they were incredible away in the first half of the year. Now lost three away games in a row, combined 8-1. So not, you know, I want to see it away from home in this juncture of the season before I'm willing to say, hey, everything is fine in terms of that aspect of Austin's play. The other thing is defensively. I mean, it's just three clean sheets in 15 games since the end of June. Pretty decent defensively on the whole. Still the sixth fewest goals conceded in the Western Conference. But these are things to look at when we start to try to handicap teams in the playoffs. Having said all that, in this spot, Vancouver has been a very, very tricky team to bet on, to fade against this year. Just when they seem to be finding a little bit of momentum, they slide, and the inverse has been true as well. So I don't want a Vancouver side here necessarily either. Credit to them. I mean, they're right in the playoff mix again. If we're going to say that Seattle is still alive at all, then we have to say Vancouver is alive as well. They're tied with them on points. Both teams probably going to be on the outside looking in. But the fact that Vancouver is still mathematically alive at this point of the season, where they've had a lot of injuries and a lot of troubles, is pretty impressive. Having said all that, I don't want either side here, Tom. I'm just going to try an over at over 2.5 minus 159. Again, I don't mind laying that kind of juice in this league. Austin, they're 12-3 on over 2.5 plays in the last 15 games. Vancouver, 10-5 in the same 15, but they've hit four of the last five and had that 2-0 in San Jose that really could have had more goals in it as well. I think they've been a pretty over-friendly team lately. So that's what I'm going to try, and this is a game with some stakes attached to it as well, especially for Vancouver. Usually in this league, stakes mean goals, which is kind of the opposite of soccer around the world. So I'm going to try over 2.5. I don't mind the juice at all, laying minus 159.
Yep, I think I'm going to go with you here. That's the only play I had in my notes, Austin plus 188, but I don't want to side. I don't want to side in this game, so I'll lean back on Old Reliable with that over and move on to New York City versus Orlando, where I very much do like a side here. NYCFC minus 130 at home. They are not in Yankee Stadium here. They are going to be playing this one at Red Bull Arena due to the scheduling conflicts that the Yankees bring about. But Orlando City is plus 335 on the road here in this spot, and the draw plus 270. And Taylor, call me crazy, but NYC has one win in their last six games, and Orlando's 5-2 in their last seven, and they've been able to produce on the road. Plus 335 feels just off to me in this one, and it's not even a true home game for New York again. If I'm taking a shot on a road dog this week, it's Orlando. New York's early season success lofted them much higher than they should be, given how poorly they've played since the departure of Tati Castellanos. I think Orlando can win this game at plus 335. I'll gladly take that price here.
That's great. I mean, it's crazy you can get this. It's absolutely crazy. And I say this as someone who's kind of been lukewarm on Orlando all season. I still don't think they'll be the toughest out in the world in the playoffs, but this is a team that's now lifted some silverware recently. This is what you get in this league, Tom, is you get a team in a vacuum. I would probably say Orlando has been slightly better than NYCFC for 2 or 3 months, and you're getting a better than 3-1 price tag on a team where that's the case, right? So I understand maybe some of this is a little bit of a reaction to NYCFC playing a little bit better more recently. Maybe there's still some people thinking about that ugly Orlando loss to their rivals, Atlanta, a couple of weeks ago. But I think they put a lot of those concerns to bed with the 4-0 win against Toronto. We mapped out the Toronto defensive concerns. Still hard to score four goals, especially an Orlando team where that's kind of been my criticism of them, is do they have enough firepower? They showed it against Toronto. It's now a bad NYCFC defense as well. I think that's a tough matchup for NYCFC. I don't understand the numbers here, Tom, to the point where I'm kind of a little bit discombobulated. I'm worried we're missing something. I know you can get these kinds of prices on road dogs in this league. It might be as simple as saying, hey, you know, Orlando, they're pretty safe in the playoff picture. They could still miss out, but they don't necessarily need 6 points of six here in the final. Actually, they have three games left as well, so they're in pretty good shape. maybe that's why the number is where it's at, but I can't really figure this one out, Tom. This one feels like, yes, maybe making NYCFC the favorites, but maybe you get a plus 200 price. This one feels like one for a team that's dead and buried, for the DCs of the world, for, dare I say, your Earthquakes of the world. It's a nice price. I think you have to try it.
Yep. That was my exact thought here when I saw this. I looked at it and I was like, Orlando's a playoff team and New York has not been playing like one the second half of the year. But the next game up is, speaking of teams that have not been playing well lately, the Timbers take on LAFC. Portland plus 185 home dogs, Taylor. Home dog.
Yep.
What is up, my home dog? Because Los Angeles is plus 125 here on the road and the draw plus 275. I can't make – look, fading LA is a risky proposition. But if I can take Portland at home as an underdog, I'm going to do it. LA hasn't won on the road now since August 7th against RSL. This team, let's face it, they've slipped. Gareth Bale is not the all-saving talisman he was expected to be. And while LA is still one of the league's top teams for sure, I don't think they make it to the finals. Give me Portland here. And if they win this, I'm actually going to be buying a futures ticket on them. Where Seattle has failed to put it together, Portland has rattled off four straight wins and a draw. They can win this game at home, especially given that LAFC has nothing to play for but the shield with the one seed already clinched. And again, this team is just not playing great on the road right now. And Portland's a very tough place to go into and win, especially when Portland still has a lot to play for here. I'm taking the Timbers plus 185.
I love this play. Full agreement. You know, primetime game, one of the toughest places to play in the league. The two things that I mapped out for Austin that have been slight problems here over the last 2 or 3 months have been even bigger problems for LAFC, which is playing on the road and the defensive stuff. And, you know, it's now 4 losses in 7 for LAFC. They haven't won a road game since the first week of August at RSL, an RSL team that's won very few games in the second half of the season as well. So I don't know how much stock I even want to put into that result. This is all about Portland. It's one of my favorite plays of the week, honestly. They've been playing great soccer for a month, 5 unbeaten. You know, I don't hate your future shout there either, Tom. I don't know. I'm going to have to look at the market a little bit more closely here, and we'll talk about this as we get closer to the playoffs. But, you know, LAFC and Austin both look shakier than they did at one point this year. Dallas, do you really trust them this time of year? We'll see. This is a good Nashville team. I don't trust the Galaxy at all. Minnesota has been sliding like crazy, and I don't like RSL all year. So unless you're making an argument that the Sounders are going to, A, get into the playoffs, and B, become the Sounders that we expect in the playoffs and that we saw on the CONCACAF Champions League run, yeah, Portland's probably one of those teams, one of the only other teams in the West that I really like right now, Tom, in terms of a momentum perspective to go on that run. So we'll talk about the prices more next week. But it's definitely something interesting to look out for. You and I full agreement here, though, that plus 185 money line price, Portland.
Just feels too good. But Taylor, that's going to do it for us here on the video side. So we thank our video listeners ever so much for being with us here today. If you want the rest of our plays, we're going to be breaking down the rest of the slate on the podcast version of the show. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. But for now, we will bid you guys adieu. So don't forget, be sure to sign up for an account at betrivers.com. Get yourself in on the action. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at TV at Work. Taylor is at ATLTWill with 1L. And as always, follow Because We Win on Twitter for all of the latest and greatest from the Betting Weekly Studios, podcast studios. It is by far the best way that you are going to be making money here, because we've got some of the best possible experts, the best experts for you to follow and get their analysis. We've got everything from soccer around the world to cricket to golf to tennis and even more. So be sure to check them all out. And guys, that's going to do it for us. Best of luck this weekend, and let's cash those tickets. And all right, Taylor, so we continue here on the audio side for our audio viewers. And we're going to go right into the Colorado Rapids versus FC Dallas. And this one's a little bit tough for me here. We've got Colorado currently playing as plus 112 home favorites, which makes sense because they have been very difficult to deal with at home. Dallas, they're plus 210 on the money line here, and the draw is plus 275. But this game's a bit of a crapshoot. Dallas can't really improve their position for the postseason. They're kind of locked into the 3 seed if they can grab a win in one of their last two. But Colorado has been a fortress at home, even if they're out of playoff contention. Jesus Ferreira and Paul Arriola, they are returning from a dreadful U.S. men's national team camp. I question whether they might play at all after this travel, let alone a full game. I think I lean under 2.5 in this spot, but I don't necessarily want to play it at this point. This is a stay away for me with that slight lean.
Yeah, as I try to pull up the actual play I had here, I would lean to agree, Tom, in terms of trying to stay away from this one. You know, the plus 210 number for Dallas here, when you think about a team, Colorado, that at this point is not playing for anything, they're out of the playoff hunt, and you have a Dallas team that, you're right, they're probably in there at the 3 seed. They've got some teams chasing them, and they could certainly fall off that, probably more likely to fall off of it than catching Austin at the 2. They would need a ton to go right for that to happen. So in theory, it's like, yeah, well, Dallas is still playing for something. The Rapids aren't playing for anything. I might like a 2-1 price tag there, but look at the data. Dallas has had some weirdness on the road this year. They've won 4 of their 16 away this year. They've had a decent amount of draws in there, so feels like they've been a little bit better on the road than they've been, but they really don't win many road games. It's a 250 winning percentage. And, you know, Colorado, early in the year, it looked like Commerce City was a fortress and no one could go in there and get a result. And then they kind of fell off a little bit, and now it looks like a fortress again. Earlier in the year, I would have probably thought under here. I would have maybe even looked at like the 1-0, 1-1 exacta markets were like, all that kind of stuff. But Colorado has now gone over in 3 of their last 5 home games. So everything is conflicting. I'm trying to kind of think aloud and try to find a play for the show. But this is another long way, Tom, of saying I'm staying away from this game. No touch as well.
I don't blame you here. I mean, it's a tough one for us to try and read the tea leaves on. That's why we both don't really like anything here. And it doesn't get much more exciting for me because the Earthquakes take on Minnesota here. San Jose at home, they're plus 120 favorites in this one versus a Minnesota team that is fighting to cling on to a playoff spot as plus 175 dogs. 3-1 is the draw price, and quite frankly, I might take that. I could see this ending in a real draw here because this game, the total's prohibitive. I don't think we see 4 goals, but I don't want to lay minus 182 on an under 3.5. Minnesota's got 4 losses and a draw in their last 5 as they free fall out of a playoff spot with a loss here. They can still claim a home game if they win this and their Vancouver matchup. I think they can get it done, but I really wish I was getting a better price than plus 175. The Quakes at home can still put up a fight, even if they do have absolutely nothing to play for. I know the definition of playing out the string as they are destined for another wooden spoon. I kind of see this being a draw, but I don't have any play here. I won't bet money on this game.
This to me feels like a spot where the stakes do matter, where San Jose is literally playing for nothing, and United, a team that looked like they might be able to lock up a top 5 seed in the West, suddenly looks like they might be on the outside looking in for the playoffs. This is about as bad a form as you could have on the business end of the season. It is now, I mean, you mentioned it, 4 losses and a draw. It's a 12-2 aggregate loss in their last 5, Tom. So it's not just that they've been losing games. They have been getting absolutely hammered defensively. They've been awful. Losing Bakaye Dibasi 5 games ago clearly has been massive for this defense because that's when things really started falling off. Of course, they've missed some Emmanuel Reynoso over this stretch as well. He's been not only their best player, but one of the 8 or 10 best players in MLS this season when he's been healthy. So that's been a part of this as well. But they've been chasing games like crazy to the point where it doesn't really matter what they're doing on the attacking end. So that could be concerning in a spot at San Jose where sometimes, you know, the Quakes will go up 2-1, 3-2, middle of the game, really force you to kind of look yourselves in the mirror and figure out what you're made of late in those games. That would be the concerning thing for Minnesota for me right now, seeing what they've been over the last month. But I do think you have to take that price for a team where it's now or never for Minnesota United. This is what they're going to have to do to get into the playoffs. They have to win this game. It doesn't matter that it's on the road. It doesn't matter that it's hard. They've got to find a way to get it done. The Quakes have just 2 wins in their last 13. They've allowed the most goals in the league at 2.1 a game and the most expected goals against as well. So the analytics have not been good for them either. against the Minnesota United team that can still score. I think it's important for Minnesota to go up first in this game because of everything I just outlined, but I do think they win it. I think the price tag is good enough. I agree with you. I'd like better, but I think it's good enough for a team that is doing everything they can to try to get into the playoffs at this point. I looked at the over markets like I often do at San Jose games. You know, if you want to try an over 3.5, that's a plus 133 price. I'd probably want a better price in that spot. You could parlay an over 2.5 with something else on the week if you wanted. That should be pretty safe. But despite all the United issues, I think San Jose has just as many, if not more. I'm going to take Minnesota money line plus 175. I also like both teams to score. It's minus 210 in this spot, Tom. LOL. You cannot do anything with some of these both teams to score prices at this point. So let's go Loons plus 175. Anything but a win here, and the Loons will miss out on the playoffs. So it's a huge, huge game for them. They need to go to the West Coast and find something deep in their loins. Let's see if they can do it.
The next game up, the LA Galaxy versus RSL. I'm just going to ignore that deep in their loins comment. The LA Galaxy minus 141, RSL plus 350, and the draw plus 290 here. I'm sorry, my analysis sucks on this game. Galaxy minus 141. I don't like laying money line prices like this, but RSL is just so bad on the road, and their form is just so abysmal right now as they free fall out of the playoffs. I've been using that term a lot today. I'll take the Galaxy to win this one here. Shout out to LA. They were one of those teams, unlike Seattle. Again, they were like Portland, who was on the outside looking in and really was touch and go there for a while. They put it together to make the playoffs.
This is one of my least favorite types of plays all season. A, betting the Galaxy. B, laying juice with the Galaxy.
Yeah, I hate it too.
It's just awful. And having said that, I laid a minus 150 last show on the Galaxy and hit. So what do I know about this team? The Galaxy, I am constantly just trying to scrape the bottom of a barrel and find some kind of trend data that makes me feel comfortable taking them. Their attack, I do like when they figure out how to score goals, I kind of like their attack. The problem is this team changes its formation every game. So it's hard to get into kind of any sort of a groove. And I would make the same point about them going into the playoffs, assuming that they get in. I am also taking the minus 141 price tag. I don't feel great about it. This, for me, has more to do with fading RSL. I've been pretty down on RSL all year. The grit and grind stuff, it's not enough for me. It's not sparkly enough for me. They've won just 3 of 16 since late June. That's pretty awful. That's on par with some of the worst teams in the league. I know they have they have enough draws in that stretch to where it doesn't feel as bad as it's been, but it's been pretty bad for 2 or 3 months for RSL. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I don't like this price at all. And I don't like how much agreement we've had, Tom, although maybe I should like it when we agree, but minus 141. Let's go Galaxy.
The next one up here, as we come towards the end of our slate, we've got Sporting Kansas City going up against Seattle in another do or die situation here. The Sounders plus 225 on the road, SKC plus 112 at home, and the draw plus 250. I mean, Sporting has been impressive lately. It's too little too late for them. They're done. But Seattle's not mathematically eliminated yet as much as they might as well be. I really do love Sporting waiting until after it doesn't matter anymore to become a tour de force with 5 straight home wins and 6 games without a loss. But it was a season that just never got going for Seattle after winning the CONCACAF Champions League. And I think this is where Sporting puts the final nail in the coffin here. Am I crazy to say this game goes over? I don't think so at all. I think both of these offenses are going to be going out in force. I'm going to go over 2.5 minus 148, and I'll take Sporting plus 112.
Our heads are in the exact same spot, same read of this game, slightly different plays. I'm going to do a play that has just better value, but it's essentially playing the same over that you are, which is over 1.5 Sporting team goals at minus 107. I would prefer that to be like a plus 120 play, but it's closer to even than the actual over 2.5, and I'm going to try it. This has hit in 6 of the last 8 for Sporting. It's been kind of money, and Seattle has given this up in 6 of their last 9. So I think the trend data is here. You mention all of the Sporting stuff. Since Willy Agata and Eric Tommy joined in the summer, I know I've given similar stats out in various shows, this one courtesy of Matt Doyle, it's now 10 games played with both of them, 5 wins. 22 games played, when they're missing either one or both of them, 5 wins. The same amount on the season, Tom, and a much smaller sample size when both those guys are out there. So that's a big part of the story. Certainly going forward, they now just have 1 loss in their last 8. The attack has been really, really fun. And, you know, I think both teams' score here is pretty safe also, but that's minus 175. In games where you think both teams are going to score, you need to get a little bit more creative at this point in this league. So I'm going to go over 1.5 team goals. Again, I'd like a little bit more value on that. If you offered this up to someone 4 months ago at that point of the season, they'd say you're absolutely insane. But it just goes to show how much changes and how quickly it does in Major League Soccer, Tom. So I think this is a good spot. I think Sporting probably wins the game as well. But I'm just going to give myself a little bit of flexibility in case this is like a 2-2 or something. I think Sporting probably ends Seattle's season, though, with a win. And in route, they'll get over 1.5 team goals. So that's my play here, Tom, minus 107.
The next game up here is Nashville versus Houston. And we've got Nashville here. This is the final game on the slate for the evening. Nashville minus 215, the Dynamo plus 575. And it's another one of those prohibitive lines, the draw plus 325. Hey, I have to go back and take another minus one play here because Houston, they've once again been just dismal. And while Nashville struggled in the middle of the year, they're playing well come playoff time. Houston's still trash, and I think Nashville can blow them out here. I could get more aggressive, but same as the Montreal play, I'll go Nashville -1 at minus 127.
There's a few teams that are playing for nothing in these last couple of games. I don't know if anyone is playing for more nothing than Houston is over these last couple, Tom. They're going to have a different manager next year than the interim situation right now. They're going to clean house with a lot of these players. So you're not learning much about next season. I have no idea what Houston's goals are for these last couple. Sometimes when that's the case, a team goes out and plays their best soccer of the year and they're just, you know, they're playing carefree and it screws up all kinds of parlays and teasers and everything. But in this spot, I don't think that'll happen. I think Nashville is considerably better than Houston. And I agree, really the only thing you can play, unless you're thinking about maybe an over 1.5 Nashville team goals bet, is the -1. The problem with over 1.5 team goals is you take Nashville on the money line, you pair it with over 1.5 team goals. I tried doing this with a game earlier. That's minus 150. It's minus 150. So you might as well just lay the goal. You're getting a minus 127 price. This feels very much like a spot where maybe Nashville could win it by one in an ugly one, but then you have the push protection and you're just fine. The Dynamo are tied for the third worst road team on 0.63 points per game. They have 12 losses in 16 away. That's the most away losses in MLS this season. Their only away win since May was at San Jose in July, Tom. I mean, they've just been absolutely atrocious across the board, but especially away from home. So I think you have to try something on a good Nashville team. The numbers aren't there. You know, I'm not guaranteeing that they win this by 2 goals or more because it's very hard to do, but you have enough push protection there, like we said with our previous -1 this week, Tom, to where I think we both feel pretty safe. Laying some juice, but laying the goal as well.
Indeed we do, Taylor. And that's going to do it for us here on the show today. If we want to recap here what our plays for the week are for everybody, let's do that now. Give everybody that chance as we run through the entire slate. And then maybe we give out a parlay if there's something striking your fancy here. But I'm going to start off here. We got Toronto versus Miami, and I'm going Toronto plus 102.
Staying away from this one, I would probably lean Toronto because of all of the bad Inter-Miami away stuff this year, Tom. But it's a no-touch for me.
The Revs take on Atlanta, and I'm going Atlanta plus 185.
Yeah, full agreement, Atlanta money line here, Tom.
Rapids versus Dallas, lean under 2.5, but not really touching.
I'm not touching this one.
Charlotte versus Philly, I'm going Philly and the over.
Going Philly money line plus 145.
FC Cincinnati versus the Chicago Fire, I'll lay the juice with Cincy minus 137.
I'll go both teams to score, yes, minus 162.
The Crew versus the Red Bulls, over 2.5. I'm going minus 106.
Going Red Bulls tie, no bet, plus 135.
Montreal versus DC. I'm taking that Montreal -1 at minus 130.
Yeah, full agreement. Montreal minus a goal.
Over 2.5 is my play in Vancouver versus Austin.
Yeah, also going over 2.5. I'm fine laying the -159 juice there.
San Jose versus Minnesota. I have nothing.
San Jose versus Minnesota. I'm going to try the Loons money line at +175. They're sliding. San Jose's been bad all year. Let's see what happens.
The LA Galaxy versus RSL. I'm taking the Galaxy -141.
Yeah, I agree with you here, Tom. Galaxy -141.
NYC versus Orlando. I'm taking Orlando +335 as the road dog in this spot.
The price is just crazy here. Completely out of whack. Give me Orlando as well.
Timbers versus LAFC. I'll take the Timbers +185 at home.
Yeah, more agreement than I realized, Tom, as we run through these. But Portland +185. Exact same.
Maybe I should be worried about this, but Sporting Kansas City versus Seattle, I'm going to go SKC money line and the over 2.5.
I'm going to go just over 1.5 Sporting team goals at -107.
Nashville versus Houston. I'm taking Nashville -1 for -127 to close out the slate.
I'm also taking Nashville minus the goal.
There you have it. All right, Taylor. Let's make some lottery tickets here. We don't have much more time to cash any of these. Is there anything you have your eye on for this week?
Say a triple money line bonanza, Philly money line, Atlanta money line, Nashville money line that comes out right around 8-1 at +818.
All right, I am going to I'm going to take one of your play. I'm going to take one of your plays here. In a four-teamer, I'm sorry, two plays. Because I've got Nashville -215. I'm going to take the Timbers +185. And I'm going to take the Union +145. And I'll take FC Cincinnati at -137. All in all, pays out $16.76.
Wow. I think it's more aggressive. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yep, just throwing a little something extra in, but that's going to do it for us here, Taylor. Once again, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at TV at Work. Follow Taylor at ATLT Will. And don't forget to head on over to betrivers.com, sign up for an account, and get yourself in on the action today. And don't forget to follow the Betting Weekly Studios at Because We Win on Twitter to stay up to date with all the latest content from around the sporting world from our sharpest of sharp analysts. Who are here to help you win. That's going to do it for us, guys. Don't forget to drop that 5-star rating and review in the platform of your choosing. And we will see you guys for a midweek slate next week. And then it's on to decision day. Let's cash those tickets.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Major League Soccer on the Bet Rivers Network.